Our reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16.
It will not be on the board.
It will not be on the board?
No.
I lied. Okay. For the kingdom of heaven, he said I could take this off. For the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing in the marketplace. And to them he said, "You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right I will give you." So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing, and he said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" And they said to him, "Because no one has hired us." And he said to them, "You go into the vineyard too." And when everything came, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, "Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first." And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the householder, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day in the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with the denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge me my generosity?" So the last will be first, and the first last. This is the reading of the word and can be trusted.
There is no way. There is no way I can preach with a mask on. That just isn't. So if you're uncomfortable, this is clearly not 27 feet. And if you want to move to a back open pew, that's fine. All right, so if nothing else, the sermon title is intriguing, is it not? Throwing cucumbers there at God. Most of us have been brought up thinking that we are supposed to look in the Bible for the answers it gives. But instead of doing that, sometimes I think we need to listen to the Bible for the questions it is asking us. A few years ago, a couple of zoologists at Emory University decided to study the idea of fairness. Is a sense of fairness something that is hardwired inside of us, or is it something that we develop a taste for? And to do this, they got an experiment going with capuchin monkeys. And so what they did is they got pairs of monkeys and they put them in cages, all right, next to each other where they could see each other, and then the human handler was out here, and what would happen is the handler, okay, trained the monkeys to give her a rock. There were little rocks in their cages. They would hand the rock over, and then the handler would give them a cucumber as a reward, because capuchin monkeys love cucumbers. And so they were very excited about this arrangement. This is working out, and she established how it works, and you know, they had a few fair and even exchanges. But then the handler changed things up. The first monkey gave a rock, she gave it a cucumber, it's happy, it's eating. Then the second monkey gave the rock, okay? She gave it a grape. Now, in the capuchin monkey world, okay, a grape is like a fine wine. A grape is like steak and lobster. A grape is like cream brulee, a dark chocolate mousse. It's a heavenly treat, all right? And the first monkey sees this, and it's like, wow, now we're going to grapes, and she's very excited, and she gives the handler a rock. But no, the human handler just gives it a cucumber. And then, to make matters worse, gives the second monkey another grape, and that monkey didn't even have to give it a rock. That first monkey went ape. it was going bananas. She practically lost her mind. She didn't eat the cucumber. She threw the cucumber back at the handler. She banged against the bars. She threw all of her rocks out of the cage and made angry gestures at the second monkey. Apparently, and they've done the study with other primates, scientists have studied it even in human infants. Babies as young as 9 months react negatively when they perceive unfairness happening. So apparently fairness is something that is hardwired in us. It is part of our human psyche, which is why this parable is something that we can all relate to. These poor workers, my goodness. No wonder they're throwing cucumbers at the owner. They are terribly upset. They've worked 12 hours. 12 hours. They did the back-breaking, hard work, the heavy lifting in the scorching sun. And then these last-minute people show up, and they're being all, no. They're screaming as they're throwing their cucumbers. That's not fair. And the owner says, do you begrudge my generosity? Are you envious because I'm generous? Is your eye evil because I am good? But they're so busy throwing cucumbers, I don't think that they hear the question. And I'm remembering another cucumber thrower, a champion cucumber thrower by the name of Jonah. Do you remember Jonah? The reluctant prophet, do you remember him? Most of us remember the beginning of the story of Jonah. God tells Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. And Jonah says, I don't want to go to Nineveh. And he gets in a boat and he goes in the opposite direction. And then the storm comes up and they throw Jonah overboard into the storm. And then a fish comes along and swallows up Jonah. And then Jonah's stuck in the belly for 3 days. And then finally it gets vomited. He gets vomited up on the shore. And Jonah is upset. And he's upset not because he was thrown overboard in the middle of a storm, not because he was swallowed by a fish, not because he was stuck in the belly of the fish for 3 days, not because he's covered up with vomit and thrown up on the shore. He's angry and upset because God is asking him and told Jonah to deliver a message to people that he really, 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 really hates. He can't stand them. At all. But still wiping the vomit off of himself, he does what God tells him to do. But he does it in a very powerful way. His sermon is only 7 words long. Who knew sermons could be so short? 7 words. And he only goes a third of the way into the city. Goes a third of the way into the city, says 7 words. And then he waits for the destruction of the people that he hates. Because you have to understand, the Ninevites, Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrians. And the Assyrians were terrible, horrible, no good, very bad people. They were foul and they were vile and they just wicked in every possible way. Jonah hates these people, can't stand them, and he's looking for God to fry them right where they stand, looking for him to just burn Nineveh to the ground. And what happens? That's not what happens at all. And Jonah is upset. Jonah is beyond upset. And God comes to him and says, Jonah, is it right for you to be so angry? Why are you so angry? Do you do well to be so angry? And Jonah, bless his heart, pretty much says, absolutely it's all right. As a matter of fact, I have every right to be upset. I have every right to be angry. If you're not going to kill them, then kill me. I would rather die than see them live. And Jonah hunkers down east of the city, still hoping that God is going to burn the city to the ground. But instead, God offers Jonah an object lesson with a weed and a worm and a wind. And concludes that lesson by repeating the question, Jonah, is it right for you to be so angry? See, God is trying to broaden Jonah's horizons, to open Jonah's eyes and heart, to see the Ninevites as God sees them, because even though the Assyrians are violent, depraved, and wicked, God says what they deserve is not the point. What they need is my grace. God is saying, Jonah, put down your cucumber. Stop the anger and the hate and embrace my grace. Because God's grace will bring healing to your heart. But I'm not sure that Jonah heard God. What's the question that the Bible was asking us? Is it right for you to be so angry? Can you stop your hate and embrace God's grace? Are you envious because God is generous? Why is it that we continue to think that grace is fair? Grace is not fair, but neither is it scarce. Just because other people get grace doesn't mean that there's less grace for us. Think about music. Think about all the music that is written. Just because people write music doesn't mean that there's less music available out there in the world. You look at the night sky. Just because other people are seeing the stars doesn't mean that there's less stars for you to see. Those of us who are blessed with children. We had a daughter. That was wonderful. We got a son. That was wonderful. It wasn't like we had to divide the same amount of love. Love doesn't divide. Love multiplies. That's the way that works. Is it right for you to be so angry? Are you envious because I am so generous? Are we, as we listen to these questions, maybe we can put our cucumbers down and try to understand what God is saying and what God is doing. But you see, that's hard for me to do. That's hard for me to do because you know where I am in this parable? I'm the 12-hour hard-working up at sunrise guy. I get up before the sun even knows it's alive, all right? I am up and I'm active. I do more, way more before 6 than most people. I am the hardest hard. I'm just, I'm one of these guys. It's hard for me to do because I get so angry at all the evil I see going on in the world, the lack of justice, the rich get richer, the powerful are never held accountable, the utter disregard and disrespect that other people are showing. I'm so busy looking for fairness and cucumbers to throw at God that I'm missing the question the Bible is asking me. Are you right to be so angry? Do you begrudge God's generosity? But maybe this parable is also about some of us recognizing that we are not the hard-working 12-hour working day as we think. Maybe we're the 11th hour worker. Maybe we're the last ones. Maybe our question is in verse 6. When the owner shows up and asks, why are you idle? Maybe God is the owner and God is saying to us, why are you idle when there is still so much work to be done? My children are suffering from systemic racism, from economic inequality. Why are you idle? Why are you idle when there is rampant injustice, when there is prejudice and oppression and total disregard for the care of my planet? Why are you idle? Maybe God is the owner saying to us, why are you idle when there is still so much work to be done? Why are you idle? The harvest is ready. Why are you idle? God is calling us for work. Harvest the crop so that God's goodness can overflow to all people, not based on the color of skin or economic status or sexual orientation or gender. There is still a lot of work to do. Still a lot of work to do. And some of us have arrived way too late to get engaged, to get involved, to get into the work. and the owner keeps coming back and back, and God is saying, I need more workers. I need more laborers in my vineyard so that the fruit of my righteousness will overflow. The harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. We are called to work in God's vineyard, to harvest justice, to cease oppression, to cease discrimination, to halt prejudice and hate. We are called to work in God's vineyard so that the wine of God's mercy and kindness may flow, that the cup of our lives may be filled with God's grace. God is calling us to work so that we can quench the thirst of injustice and hatred with the righteousness and love and mercy of God. God is looking for workers, and God keeps coming back and back and back. And now here we are. It's the 11th hour, and God is still coming back. God is saying there is still much work that needs to be done. God is saying, I'm looking for workers. I'm looking for laborers for my harvest. Why are you idle? We can't stay idle in the marketplace any longer. It's time to go to work for the kingdom of God. Not to get into the kingdom of God. We get in by grace. But to work for the kingdom of God. To make sure that everyone is included, no matter where they are in the line. What is the question that the Bible is asking you? What is God asking you? Why are you so angry about my grace? Why are you so envious about my generosity? Why are you still idle? Instead of throwing cucumbers at God, find your question. Because when you find your question, your spiritual journey begins. Amen.